This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Speaking to his flock in the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon, we join Archbishop Alexander Sample as he reflects upon our faith, culture, and life in the church on The Voice of the Shepherd. Joining Archbishop Sample is your host, Dina Marie Hale. And now, The Voice of the Shepherd.
Greetings and welcome to The Voice of the Shepherd with His Excellency Archbishop Alexander Sample. And Archbishop, as we come together today, I want to focus on our mission. We have one mission. That mission is rooted in our love of Jesus Christ. I love your theme, Jesus Changes Everything. And in this springtime of renewal, in this time in the church, as we come into the season of hope and new beginnings, Easter, lead us in prayer.
Yes. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son Jesus into the world with a true mission, the mission of proclaiming the gospel, the good news of your mercy for the world, for your children, to reconcile the world to yourself and to open for us the way to life eternal. We ask you to help us in this local church to continue to fulfill that one mission of spreading the good news of your love and mercy poured out in Jesus. Be with us during this broadcast and touch the hearts of our listeners so that they may be inspired to join us in this mission. In spreading the good news of your love. All this we ask through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, today I wanted to have you talk a little bit from your heart, as you always do. But as we enter the Easter season and the springtime, there is an opportunity for us to really give, to have that giving generosity to the church, to the workings of the church. I think about the early Christians, and they brought all of their resources together.
Exactly.
We're one church. We may have many parishes, but under you as our leader, as our pastor to care for the flock. Let's just open as we talk about the Archbishop's Catholic appeal that you have a flock and responsibility to care for all of the people in Western Oregon.
That's right. You know, and I'm so glad, Dina Marie, that you made that reference to the Acts of the Apostles. Because, you know, this is the way the church has funded, if you will, her mission from the beginning. I mean, we have a tremendous mission, brothers and sisters. We have the most important mission of any organization in the entire world. You know, I've been working with a consultant in the last few years to help with some leadership organization here in the Pastoral Center. And this consultant, he works with all kinds of corporate clients, big ones. But he always reminds me, Archbishop, you have the most important mission of anybody else that I work for. Because you're trying to fulfill the mission that Jesus has given to the church. And from the very beginning, the apostles were charged with leading the church, governing the church, helping the church fulfill the mission that Jesus entrusted to the apostles. But it takes resources. It takes financial resources to fulfill the mission of the church. Our mission is spiritual, no doubt about it. But in order for us to fulfill our mission, we need those kinds of assistance on the part of the faithful. And that's what they did in the early church. You know, we read that right in the Acts of the Apostles. The apostles are still alive. Jesus has barely ascended back to the Father. We already have those who have means, selling what they have, mm-hmm. even, and placing this at the disposal of the apostles for the distribution to the poor, but also to support the work and the mission of evangelization, the spreading of the gospel. So that's what is entrusted to me as the chief shepherd in Western Oregon. And that's why, you know, we're really hitting on this theme of one mission in a strong way this year, because you're right. We are individual parishes. And quite honestly, I know most of you who are listening, you experience the life of the church, primarily in your local community. I get that. That's very important for you, as it is for all of us. But we need to see the bigger picture, that the church in Western Oregon is not like a confederation of individual parishes that have joined together in order to form the archdiocese. Actually, the archdiocese comes first. And by the archdiocese, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about the pastoral center. I'm not talking about the central offices of the archdiocese. We are the archdiocese. Mm-hmm. You, wherever you are and wherever you're listening, you are a part of this archdiocese. Well, unless you're listening across the river in Vancouver, and we know we get a lot of our dear friends over there as well. But this is the idea, is that the archdiocesan church, all of us together in Western Oregon, all the Catholics in Western Oregon, we are the church. We are the Catholic Church. We are the Archdiocese of Portland. Not me, not my offices, not my staff. We together are the Archdiocese of Portland. That's primary in fulfilling our mission here. And together we do this as one throughout Western Oregon. We all need to be working and evangelizing together as one. And we can't do this without that kind of coming together, uniting ourselves in the one mission, accepting and embracing and following the leadership of our chief shepherd, the archbishop, me in this case, because it's my job to hold us all together, to unite us all together, to pull us together, to focus us, to orient us, to prioritize things for us as a local church. In other words, it's not like, well, we do our own thing over here in our parish, and we aren't that interested, Archbishop, in what's going on in the rest of the archdiocese. That's the wrong attitude. Mm-hmm. That's not what it means to be church. It's never meant that. What it means to be church. It means to be united as one in fulfilling a mission. And for us, the archdiocese is Western Oregon. You draw a line down the summit of the Cascade Mountains, and everything in Oregon from that summit of the Cascades to the coast is the Archdiocese of Portland. We're all part of that, and we all need to come together and unite in that one mission and care for one another and evangelize this part of God's vineyard.
Yeah. And every part of the life of the church, I mean, from that first initiation and baptism till we are burying our loved ones with a beautiful funeral mass and having a cemetery in order to respect our deceased loved ones, our clergy, the education of our children. I mean, all of the ways in which we live and experience church come through the local Catholic Church. That does require our gift of time, talent, and treasure.
Absolutely. You know, there are certain things that the church in Western Oregon and the Archdiocese of Portland needs to do that transcend what an individual parish can do.
Yeah.
And this is what I really want people to stop and think about. You know, there are many things that the church needs to do in Western Oregon that no one parish can care for by itself. But we come together as a local church, parishes all across the archdiocese, individual Catholics all across the archdiocese, to come together to take care of these larger needs that really go beyond what any one parish should be concerned about. And what we're focusing on, you know, I have been the archbishop here now for 11 years. Man, I've spent a lot of time in those 11 years listening, consulting, but more importantly, praying, listening to the Lord. And I feel very strongly has put on my heart sort of a focus and a mission, priorities, if you will, for us to focus on here in Western Oregon. And this is what I really feel the Holy Spirit has put on my heart through others, but mainly in that prayer. Number one, I want to really focus on the renewal of the clergy. And our, especially our priests, but our deacons as well. Mm-hmm. But a special emphasis on our pastors, those that are shepherding us in the local communities. I really want to pour into these men. And that starts in the seminary. That starts with recruiting men for the priesthood. It starts with supporting those men once they enter formation in the seminary. And that takes a lot of resources to do that. But then in the active years of ministry, I'm their spiritual father. I'm their shepherd. and I have to take care of them. And there are many needs of caring for our priests and pastors that go beyond what the parishes are due. You know, no one parish is going to be able to handle all of the expense that goes with recruiting and forming our seminarians. No one parish can foot the expense of supporting and providing resources and help and assistance and all kinds of resources for our priests as they're in their years of active ministry. And then we have our senior brothers, these men who have dedicated their entire lives to the service of God's people. And now in their senior years, where they no longer hold the office of pastor and they continue to work and help out as best they can, they have needs, and I need to take care of them. I am their spiritual father, too, even though they're all older than me. I have to care for them. They're my family. They're our family. And but I don't expect any one parish to take care of our senior brothers and their needs. So we do this together. We come together to do this. A second area of focus and mission and energy is education, Catholic education. We have got to renew Catholic education. I'm talking to people constantly who are, either it's clear to me that there's been very, very inadequate faith formation in their lives, whether and that sometimes is even in some of our Catholic schools even. But even an adult formation. So our education, the whole area of Catholic education, a Catholic education throughout the archdiocese, in our schools, in our parish faith formation programs, in our adult education programs, in our OCIA programs, that we are unapologetically Catholic, on fire, clear in the formation and the education of our children, our young people, young adults, and way into adulthood. You know, and some of these initiatives take guidance on the global level, beyond what a parish can do by itself. The direction that needs to be given, the formation that needs to be provided to our teachers, to our catechists, all of that has to be organized on a higher level for the service of all of us. Look, I'm all into the principle of subsidiarity. You know, let what is best done on the local level happen on the local level. But some things can't happen on the local level. They need the bigger level to help guide and provide direction. And then finally, the third area is evangelization. I want to form parishes and people that know how to evangelize, who know how to share the gospel. And quite honestly, we all want to do this. I haven't met anyone, any serious Catholic who doesn't want to evangelize, who doesn't want to share the faith and bring others to Christ and bring others to the church. But we don't know how to do this, quite honestly. We're at a loss sometimes as to how do I evangelize? How do I reach out to that fallen away family member? How do I reach out to my neighbor? How do I reach out to that coworker? How do I reach out to that person I see at the gym, you know, every day? How do we do this? Well, that takes some coordination on again, the higher level. Yes, obviously, most of this work happens locally, of course. In fact, it even happens more locally than the parish. It happens in our individual homes, mm-hmm. and in our domestic churches, and in our local environments. But we need formation, we need direction, we need help, we need assistance, we need ways to organize this effort. And that happens, again, on this larger level, all of us together in Western Oregon coming together to do these things as one mission in Western Oregon.
I love that image of family. We are one family. And I mean, the more that I participate in my local church and I get involved in activities that are touching the whole archdiocese, I feel that more and more. But each family member is required to give what they can. You know, a two-year-old toddler gives something different than the teenager, than the father, than the mother. But everybody does have a part.
Yes.
And I even love when young children are doing something like selling lemonade to raise money for a special cause. What a great thing to foster that. We can all give because we're giving to the church. We're giving back to God what God has given us so we can bring more into our family. I think that's important. We can't do it all, but we can each do something.
Yeah, you know, I it perplexes me sometimes, quite honestly, why people aren't just excited to participate actively in the mission that Jesus has given to us in the church, to proclaim the gospel, to bring others to him, to bring others to the church, to bring people to the sacraments. I mean, we've got the greatest mission of all. Mm-hmm. And we should be enthusiastic about this mission. We're on a winning team here, folks. Yeah. You know, we're doing something incredible here. And I know I keep saying this, and I'm going to keep saying it. Things are happening here in Western Oregon. You know, the Holy Spirit has, for whatever reason that known only to him, has chosen this place, I believe very strongly, to be an epicenter of faith renewal. And evangelization, quite honestly. We just had recently a gathering of young people through YCP, Young Catholic Professionals. But, you know, it's a wonderful group of young Catholics. We had a day of recollection at Mount Angel. We had 200 young adult Catholics from across Western Oregon come together for a day of prayer together, formation, to hear talks, to pray with each other, to worship. And it sold out, and it's the largest event of YCP. There's YCP chapters all across the country. This is the largest retreat event that has happened anywhere in the United States in the entire history of YCP, and it happened here in Western Oregon, in where many people quite honestly consider this is kind of the heart of darkness here of the secular culture. But the Holy Spirit's on the move here, mm-hmm. and I want people to be a part of this. I want people to invest in this, you know. I don't mean to sound like an infomercial here, but you know, quite honestly, I need help. Mm-hmm. I need help, and you know, I want to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is doing here, and I don't think people realize as much that, you know, all of these things that are happening here, all these initiatives that I want to push forward with all of the support and the guidance and the consultation of so many that helped me shepherd this church, this takes means. It takes financial means. You know, a lot of us have our favorite, you know, kind of charities, things that we like to support. I certainly do. I've got my list, you know, and I tithe. And I give to all of these different needs of the world, of the church, of the poor. I've got my favorite things. But on the top of my list, is the work of the church to evangelize, to bring people to faith, to take care and to recruit, to form, to support and to love our priests and our deacons, to really push forward strong and hard on the renewal of Catholic education. That takes an office, that takes staff, that takes an incredible amount of energy and time and effort, and that takes finances. To really form evangelizing parishes is going to take staff, it's going to take training, it's going to take initiatives that cost money, quite honestly. And I guess a lot of us aren't very comfortable talking about money, you know, in the church, you know, because what happens is we get accused of, you know, all they ever talk about is money. You know, well, I hardly ever talk about money, but I'm speaking from the heart. I have so much that I want to do. Oh, there's so much I want to see happen here in Western Oregon. And people come up to me at town hall meetings and parish visitations and that, and they said, oh, Archbishop, I think we should be doing this. And well, we need somebody to do this, and we need somebody to organize that. And I said, man, you're so right. You're so right. But I just simply don't have the financial resources to make that happen. Because that takes money. That takes time. That takes people. Mm-hmm. That takes, quite honestly, salaries. And, you know, I can't make things happen with people that I can't afford to put over these things and to make these things happen. But together we can do this, my friends. Mm-hmm. I think it's exciting. I mean, I cut my annual check to the ACA, and I try to be as generous as I can, as well as to other archdiocesan initiatives throughout the year, yeah. In addition to my care for my charities that serve the poor. But man, there's nothing more exciting than to be a part of this. I mean, there's so much happening. Folks, don't you want to be a part of this? Yeah. Don't you want to have an investment in what Jesus has entrusted to us? And again, this is the way the church has always had to do it, you know, right from the beginning of the time of the apostles. You can't make the mission of the church flourish without the putting, you know, basically our resources where our mouth is.
Yeah. And it is our responsibility. And I think, yeah, I need to be able to give. And I think about, can I pledge on a monthly basis? Because I know in an organization, mm-hmm. there are monthly fees, there's monthly resources. Do you want to have access to your priests every day, every week? Well, it costs resources for all of the different things that we do. So as a family pledge for, I think about these YCP young people who are just starting out in their careers, maybe they're starting out in a ministry. Are they willing to sacrifice a little bit mm-hmm. to give back for their future families, their future vocations? We can do this, but it's going to take taking out of the world the things that we invest in, the worldly things, and saying, you know what, let's give this to God. And God has entrusted me in this local church mm-hmm. Under your leadership and your heart. I want to give back to that for an eternal, not to earn my way.
No, we don't buy our way into heaven.
That's part of my gift. God's yeah. given me something. And I think as a family pledge, an individual pledge, a couple, that we can make a difference. If we want change, it's about our prayer. It's about yeah. how do we give to make that change happen.
You know, and it's also, you know, I've heard it said this way, and I think there's some real good spiritual truth to this, that we give not so much because there is a need. We give because we need to give. Yeah. In other words, the need to give back mm-hmm. to God. From all that he has blessed us with. That's the need. I need to give. I need to give back. Yes, it's great that I can meet specific needs that are out there, but the primary need is my need to give. I have a need to give. God has entrusted me with this. And you know, it's we're only using this stuff in this world. You know, the money, the possessions that we have in this world, they're only for our use. While we're here, they really ultimately don't belong to us. We're going to have to leave them behind. So my need to give back to God from all that he has given to me is the primary driver. It should be the primary driver. And we cannot outdo God in generosity. This is another principle that I've learned over the years. We cannot outdo God in generosity. I have to confess, and you know, I've been right from my first day, my first paycheck as a priest, when I got out of the seminary, I have tithed from the beginning, right from the get-go. And I have to say, not so much now, but in the early years, there were some months when I was like, oh, I don't know, this is going to be tough this month. And I was tempted maybe to pull back a little bit or say, well, I'll catch up next month. And every time that I bit the bullet and gave back to God first, mm-hmm. It's amazing to me. I could tell story after story after story how some unexpected, you know, benefit or blessing would come that would make it possible for me. You cannot outdo God in generosity. And I know that some people, you know, sometimes they wonder about, you know, well, where does all this money go? And what does the Archbishop really need this money for? And can I trust that my money is going to be used well? And I think there's some fears about, well, you know, this money being used for other purposes in the church that I don't really intend. But that's why we try to be as transparent as we can about how we use these resources. And there'll be some further discussion about that, but not now. But these things I'm talking about, that I've been talking about with you, Dean and Marie, and with our listeners, about, again, pouring into our priests and renewing, strengthening, encouraging, helping our clergy, really moving forward, the ball forward with Catholic education, and really kind of taking back Catholic education for the Lord and for the church and making it all that it should be. And this work in evangelization, which is the heart of it. The church exists to evangelize, to share the gospel with others. You know, you can be assured that your gift to the church and to the ACA, the Archbishop's Catholic Appeal, goes to these things and makes these things happen.
Yeah.
And honestly, folks, you know, I cannot do this without you. We're in this together. Mm-hmm. It's one mission. You know, I've been given a role of leadership. You know, I didn't apply for this. You know, that's not how it works in the church. You know, a lot of kids sometimes ask, well, how did you get to be an archbishop? I said, well, that's a darn good question. You know, you don't make this happen. You don't apply for this job. You don't maneuver for this job. You don't climb the corporate ladder to get this job. This job is entrusted to you. This ministry, this apostolate, this life is entrusted to you by the church, and you're asked to step up and do it. You know, certainly my life could be much more peaceful, perhaps, you know, in a nice parish somewhere and settled in and caring for lovingly for people on that local level. But the call that the Lord has given to me is this, to lead and shepherd this local church. And I have a vision that the Lord, I believe, has put on my heart. And it's a vision that has been shaped through a lot of prayer, consultation with others, the input of many people over these years. And I'm ready to go. I'm just like fired up and wound up. The slingshot has been pulled back and it's ready to go. Just help me launch this thing.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, let's give every gift is welcome, and God is going to bless every single gift. Your gift of time at your local parish, your gift of talents, the things that God has given you to do, do it for the church. And then those resources, those financial resources, let's put them to work to spread the gospel.
Everybody has different gifts that they are given, but whatever we're given to share.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, I mean, there are, quite honestly, there are some of you out there who have great financial means to help. And I'm asking you to be especially generous. But there are many people, especially these days with the economy being what it is, who, you know, are struggling a little bit and, you know, it's a little tight. So maybe you don't have as much to offer, but, you know, whatever small gift that you can offer is welcome. But we all hopefully have some time and those gifts that God has given us, the talents that God has given us, that we put in the service of one another. And so it isn't just the money. It's also the investment of our heart, of our time. You know, sometimes there's nothing more valuable than time.
Yeah.
And the gifts that God has given us in the service of one another in the body of Christ, the church.
Absolutely. And I want to encourage our listeners, JesusChangesEverything.church is a great website to visit, because that will be one of the ways, and is currently one of the ways, in which we can receive those gifts and to share the good news of Jesus Christ right here in Western Oregon. And with that, Archbishop, would you please help us close with your blessing?
Yes. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon all of you, your families, and loved ones, and be with you this day and forever. Amen.
Amen. And thank you all for joining us today on this episode of The Voice of the Shepherd. For Archbishop Alexander Sample, I'm Dina Marie. Until we meet again, may God bless you.
You've been listening to The Voice of the Shepherd with Archbishop Alexander Sample, a production of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. To subscribe to this podcast and access to all of our past shows, visit materdeiradio.com. Please email your comments and questions for the show to info@archdpdx.org. Learn more about the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon online at archdpdx.org. Peace be with you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.